from there. And then just before Monet shares, Krishan actually had a picture. It just felt ties up beautifully, just in the thread it goes through.
So even as we were worshiping, I was reminded, yesterday I was at a wedding. That was such a beautiful picture of us and Jesus. And as the bride came down, she came down, the tears just started flowing, and she was crying and crying and crying as she saw a bridegroom. And it reminded me of how we are looking to Jesus, our bridegroom, how we are His bride. And I found an encouragement even this morning as we are here to look to Him. When we read Scripture, we see everywhere where people encountered Jesus, where they looked to Him, their lives were changed. So it's an encouragement this morning to look to Him, to center our minds, center our focus on Him. And there's this expectation and this looking forward of seeing Him, even where there was a season before yesterday where there was expectation for the marriage. There's expectation for us that one day we will see Him. And I felt this verse right at the end of the Bible in Revelation 22. It speaks of this day when we as the bride will see Jesus. Where they say in Revelation 22, it speaks about John seeing the throne of God and the Lamb. And then it says that no longer will there be anything accursed, from verse 3, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him, and they will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. I just felt that they will see His face. We have the opportunity to see His face. And even this morning, Lord, I trust You, Lord, that there'll be a seeing of You. In Jesus' name.
Okay, cool. I just want to pray for Monet as he goes. So why don't you just stretch out your hands towards Monet and pray for him. Now, Father, we want to come and pray as Monet is going to preach. Would You come and speak through him? Father, we want to receive from him. Open hearts. Father, would You come and help us position our hearts to receive what the word that You have deposited in Him. Amen.
Thanks, Wari. Just want to get my timer going. Right. Beautiful. Hello, everybody. Hope you're all doing well. So, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Mornay, and I'm a second-year Bible school student at TMT. And I come all the way from Joburg, okay? So there's a fair part from here off. But yeah, so it's just, yeah, it's an awesome time, man. And just such a privilege actually being able to do this and just even to love Jesus. It's a privilege. So for those of you who love, like, giving a title when someone gives a sermon, I have a title for the preach. And it's called Love. It's a decision and not a duty. Okay. So I want to ask you guys, I want to start off with a question. Have you ever thought of that day when we one day will see Jesus? Okay, like picture that in your mind. Like just be like, man, He's coming back for His bride. And think of the love that we will experience, that wholeness we will experience of, man, nothing can be more perfect than this moment. And then for us as saints, I want to ask us the question, like, are we loving Him out of obligation? Or are we loving Him out of pure love and passion? Because I believe that He loves us not out of obligation, but He loves us as a people out of that passion and that love. All right. So then, how do we as a church love Christ faithfully until we see Him? And I think the topic of love is so big, and I spoke to Mike, and Mike even said, like, you can preach for months, you can only preach on love. And I was just like, okay, cool, Lord, I really need to trust You for what You want to highlight today. And there's one specific area that I felt the Lord wanted to highlight to us as a church today, and that is that we as a church need to be so devoted towards each other, okay, as the God has commanded us to do. So for those of you who don't know, like, Yoandri is my sister, and so that would then make Haya my brother-in-law. So they recently planted a church in Bloom. And I'm sharing this to just give context to what I'm about to share. And I want to start off with a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 8. Beautiful. And then it says there, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast, and it is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, and it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And then love never ends." So before I actually had a relationship with God, I remember each time that Aya and Johandri came down, before they even were married, they would come down and they would, or go up actually in Joburg. Sorry, I just need to get my, and then they would come and visit. And it would be custom for me and Aya to actually go and play a round of golf, because both of us love golf, and like Aya was a freestyle golf player. So it would be like customary for us to go and play a golf game. And each time we would go and play a golf game, I would think, okay, either this guy really likes me, like he wants to spend time with me, or he just loves playing golf. So I thought to myself, like, okay, it must be the first one, because we both like golf. But at that time, I didn't see the value in the time he was investing in me. And then, like, oh, he wasn't spending time with me just to play a game of golf. He saw something in me, and he saw a love that needed to be birthed. And he actually gave that love to me. And then if you go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, where it says that love is patient. And I think I gave Aya so many gray hairs in his young stage, because I didn't change straight away. But he was so patient, and he knew that, okay, Lord, you want to do something here. And I want to actually ask you guys, like, how many times when you have had a one-on-one with someone, like, and you've had a coffee, and this person is just not catching what you're saying, you just want to, like, take your Bible and just give a simple, like, just a net, just for them to receive the knowledge that is in the Bible. It probably won't work, but, and I know I have felt like that many times, and I can guarantee you that that is how Aya felt when he had coffees with me, or when we went to play golf. And I really think that the Lord looks at us the same way. And not in the way that he wants to hit us with the Bible, but he looks at us with patience. And he says, like, you are going somewhere. Just be patient, as I'm patient with you, but you are going somewhere. And then in verse 4 as well, it says that love is not arrogant or rude. And I think it could have been so easy for Aya to, when he spent time with me, to be, yeah, I can see pastor, I'm leading a church, you know, I'm only here for this guy's sister, so I don't really need to spend time with him. But I think throughout the golf games that Aya almost spent more money on me than he has spent on Johandri, which is quite cool. So that for me, when I realized that, I was, okay, Lord, that is cool. He's a good brother-in-law. And even he didn't try to Bible bash me at one moment, but he had a love that listened. That each time when I shared something, when I opened my heart towards him, he listened. It was the coolest thing for me. I remember pictures of like us walking on the golf course and just opening my heart with tears in my eyes. And he wouldn't even speak straight away. He would step back and he would think, and then he would answer. And that for me is love. It's giving an answer to a person that means something, and not just answering them out of answering them. And then I want to quickly head to verse 7 as well. I don't have a lot of time left. Verse 7, where it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. And that last little bit endures all things. I remember when I was at Varsity for the 2 years I was there, Haya would send me like pictures and scriptures, and each time I would write an exam, he would call me and be like, yes, ouwe, jy reg vir jou toets, jy gaan goed in, and I'd be like, dankie, ou, cool. Dankie, pastoor. And I'd be like, so cool. But each time I wrote an exam, he would send me a message and he would say, good luck. And that is love that endures. And we as a church, we will face love that needs to endure amongst each other, because we all have different personalities. The Heavenly Father made us all different. So love needs to endure somewhere, because somewhere there will be, I don't want to say disagreement, but there will be vision that in a sense splits. And that's why love needs to endure, because at the end of the day, it's about the person. And then in verse 8, the last little bit, or that first little bit in the verse where it says, love never ends. And while preparing, I got a similar picture of what Christian saw, where I remember my sister's wedding day. I was one of Aya's groomsmen, and I was standing there in front, and as soon as she walked in, I got tears in my eyes, and I said, see, hoe kom kry ek nou traan in my oë? My sussie wat trou. And it should happen. And I remember looking to Aya, and there was this excitement in his face. There was this readiness of, Lord, this is what you have prepared me for, this day. And as soon as I saw that picture, I prayed and I said, Jesus, what do you want to say through this? And I felt him saying that, Mornay, my son is excited to see you one day. I see the picture of Jesus just standing there being, Dad, when can I go? Can I just go and see my bride? Because I want to love her for the rest of my life. And I just felt the Father saying to him, she's being made ready. Because I want to give a perfect bride to you. You deserve a perfect bride as my son. Oh, it's my time. Sorry, I'm just going to land. So I know there are a few of us sitting here today that may feel like, yo, but I don't feel love for Jesus at this moment. My tank is running empty. And how can I love Jesus? Yes, it's very simple. Because he loved us first, you can love him back. That ultimately is an open door to love him back. And at the end of the day, relationship is a two-way thing. It's very difficult to love a person when you don't receive any love back. And I believe that God is calling all his sons and daughters to step out and to love him with everything we possibly have, and to love each other with every bit in us. And to be able to say, and to look at him one day and say, Jesus, here I am. I'm ready. And then just in closing, think of the celebration of being united with Christ in life, in love one day. Because of that love we've had for each other, enduring with each other, being patient with each other, being united with Christ. And then I want to encourage each one of us to love Christ faithfully is not something to work for, but it's something to live for. And at the end of the day, like, works will die. That is so true, because like our works won't last forever, because we'll burn out. But when our life becomes love, then our love will become life. So yeah, thank you. And then yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Mane. Yeah, it's very good. Yes, I'm challenged. So Jerry, you can come up so long. Jerry's just going to share on hope, I think. Let's keep remembering to try and make notes as we go. I like his African suit, men of God dance, you know. So, anyway, go for it, bud.
Solid. Oh, yes, that was power. Come on. This is so exciting. I really, I'm excited to see what Jesus is going to do this morning, because I really believe that the King is here, and he's wanting to do something special and something incredible. So in preparation for this morning, I felt this line, like a bride waiting for her groom, will be a church ready for you. And this morning, it's actually really cool because Morena and I didn't prep together, but we felt the same thing. And this morning, I feel this thing of that the Lord actually wants to remind us that we serve a God that is alive. We serve a God that's not dead. And we serve a God that one day he's coming back. And the question that I want to ask us this morning is, when the King comes back, will he find faith? Will he find love among us? Will he find hope among us? So I'm going to share on hope. I'm going to try and throw in a few jokes now and then, or just laugh terribly and hope everyone laughs. So to start off, I actually just want to give a description of hope. So there's two descriptions to hope. There's the worldly one, and then there's the biblical one. So the worldly description of hope is a wish, basically. So when people in the world, they hope for something, there's no assurance to it. It's like, I hope I'll one day have this, but there's no assurance that they'll actually have it. Whereas the biblical definition, which is so power, goes like this. So it says, hope is confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in God's faithfulness. And that is so, like, when I read it, I was like, oh my word. But it's so cool just actually knowing hope is a confident expectation in God's promises, and the strength of our hope is actually God's faithfulness to do it, and not us. And that sets, like, everything. Okay, so I'm going to chat a bit about the rugby just because it happened very recently and everyone still got, like, the, oh, Booker. Like, while watching the rugby, like, I watched it with the TMT guys, and it was incredible, and South Africa won, and I had to work that evening, and as I was driving, everyone was hooting at me. I thought it was my driving, but I think it was just the fact that South Africa won. But I asked myself this question, why is everyone celebrating the victory so much? Why is everyone, like, making a big deal out of South Africa winning the World Cup? And I felt the Lord say this, is the trophy, the rugby trophy that South Africa brought home is actually a symbol of hope for the nation. It's actually a symbol of things actually will get better. Things can get better. We can work together. We can do this. But actually this morning I want to say that hope is temporary. It won't last. Okay. And this morning I want to introduce us to a hope that is not temporary. I want to introduce us to a hope that is known as the Rock of Ages. A hope that's known as unshakable. A hope that has said, take heart, I've overcome the world. I want to introduce us to a hope that was mocked, bruised, beaten, spat on, given a crown of thorns, nailed to the cross. But on the third day, he rose again, seated in glory, exalted by the Father, and all authority in heaven and on earth and below the earth has been given unto him. And that's the hope. That is our hope. And his name is Jesus. And so this morning, I want to ask us a question. Are you looking for hope? Are you looking for hope for the nation? Are you looking for hope for yourself? Are you looking for hope for the rest of the world? Come back to the source. And that is Jesus. Okay, and I believe David caught this so well. David was an incredible king. He had, like, the mighty men, and they were really strong men. But there's something really cool that David says in Psalm 20, verse 7. If Gabby can just put that up. Where he says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of our God. And it's just this cool thing of, like, David had men to go fight for him, but he still had his hope in God. All right, and this morning I want to ask us, what are we putting our hope in? Is our hope in our abilities? I'm a really smart person. I'm very strong. Is our hope in our financial stability? Is our hope in our husband, our wife, our kids? And for some of you, you're actually sitting here, you've actually lost hope. But this morning, I want to tell you there is hope. And his name is Jesus. Come on, hallelujah. Awesome. All right, and I just want to quickly share a small testimony about my life. So I think at the age of like 10 or 11, my sister, she woke up one night and she just went crazy. Lost her mind and everything and kind of like just became mentally disabled. And for my family, that was very hard because she wasn't born like that. For my mom, that was very hard. And I think my dad is where he is right now because of that. My dad lost it. He went spiral. Everybody kind of just went crashed. But one thing I do know is that when that happened, when our whole family kind of like lost hope, because she was the firstborn. And for those of you that have kids, your firstborn is like your pride. It's like they're the first one to go to varsity. They're the first one to actually get a job. Hopefully get married first, and all of that stuff. They kind of are like your pride. And the minute something like that just drops, it's like, oh, where's all hope now? And all hope is gone. And I remember my mom speaking to us one night, and she told us this thing. She said, I can't give you guys money and the rest of the things that I would love to give you guys. I can't guarantee that your sister will be better, but there is a hope that I'm going to reveal to you guys, and his name is Jesus. And I didn't know Jesus at that point, but at that point I knew something, and that is there's a hope, and his name is Jesus, and he's constant. Okay, and I'm going to start to land now. Landing. and just to land, I want to read... I think it's Proverbs, Proverbs 13 verse 12, where it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And basically what it's saying is, if you put your hope in anything but God, you'll go sick. Okay, because we were made to worship God, and if you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping something else. We were made to put our hope in God, and if you're not putting your hope in God, you're putting your hope in something else. And can I tell you what? It won't last. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be unstable, shaking the whole time, because there's just one hope that is permanent, and that is like he lost till the end, and that is Jesus. All right, Kevin, can you go to the next verse, please? Hebrews 6:19 verse 2:20 says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And it's just this thing that Jesus has actually become our anchor of hope. That Jesus is the one standing before the Father going, oh, Father, look at him. When you see him, Father, you see me. You see my righteousness. It's because of Jesus that we can say that one day when I stand before the Father, I can stand in all glory. I can be raised up that the same way that Moran had that picture of the bride coming before the groom, that we can come before the Father one day and Jesus will present us before the Father and we'll look blameless and holy and beautiful, and the Father will be like, oh, this is my bride. And we'll be like, oh, Father, I've been waiting for you. And it's going to be this beautiful picture, but that is our hope. That is our hope. We don't live for this. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord will remain. Okay, and so, even just in closing, I want to ask us, what are we putting our hope in? What are we putting our hope in? If the Father came back now, if the King came back now, will he find hope in your heart? Or are we sitting with the hopelessness in our heart? So, yeah, trust that the Lord has actually stirred our heart to have hope in the one that is constant, and that is Jesus. And that is Jesus. Awesome.
Yeah, well. awesome. Yeah, and the Bible promises us in this life we will have trouble. So we put our hope in, sure. Devold, go for it.
It's extreme. Anyways, good morning, church. So my name is Devold Shepherd. I'm all the way from Wellington. So born and raised in the Walks. So today I'm going to speak about faith, which is actually the first one, but now the last one. And I want to ask a question. Who of you in the last 2 weeks have prayed a prayer that you felt was impossible? So you prayed a prayer that was beyond what you normally ask for. It's almost like a prayer that you feel like, yes, Jesus, like, I don't see this happening, but I'm going to pray it. So you can almost call it an impossible prayer. Okay, raise your hand quickly. Okay, so I want to say that we as a church need to pray more impossible prayers. Okay, so the reason I say that is because when we pray impossible prayers, it puts us in a position where we really, really, really need to get on our knees and pray. And really, really, really need to trust Jesus to come through. When we pray normal prayers, it's almost like, oh, Jesus, I hope my day is good, or I hope this. But when we pray impossible prayers, it puts us in a position where we can only see evidence if Jesus acts. So if Jesus actually does something. And I really felt this thing that just in faith, for us as a church, I believe that this church is called to pray impossible prayers. And that God is going to answer impossible prayers. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. And for some, it might look different. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're trusting maybe for a family member to get saved. Maybe that is your impossible prayer. Or maybe you're praying for your marriage. Maybe that is an impossible prayer. Or maybe even finances, you're trusting for finances, or there's something that you're trusting for it's just impossible. You don't see our God, you don't see this thing working out. But I believe God is calling us to pray impossible prayers. Prayers that are beyond our capacity of thinking, how is this going to work out? Okay, awesome. There's a scripture in Hebrews 11 verse 1. And it explains faith. And it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Okay? So faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And basically, faith is simply trusting Jesus that He will do something. Okay? So when I pray for something, or when I trust for something, I trust My faith is trusting Jesus that He will do something. Okay? So faith is simply trusting Jesus. And I want to speak about a chapter in the Bible. It's in Hebrews 11. Okay? So, Hebrews 11. So what it does, or the story, the whole chapter is about men and women of faith that have done great things for the kingdom of God. That have done great things for the kingdom of God. And this is stories that is in this Bible, in this chapter. I want to encourage us, when you have time in this week, go and read Hebrews 11. This contains stories, many, many stories of different people that have done great and mighty things for the kingdom of God by faith, okay? And when you read this chapter, you will often see the words, or you often in this chapter read the words, by faith. And then it speaks about Abraham or different characters in the Bible, how they have done crazy, amazing things by faith for the kingdom of God. And today, these men and women are known actually for what they have done for God by faith. Okay, so through reading Hebrews 11, there's just 3 points that I want to highlight for us, and then I'm done. So the first point that I want to highlight, it's just the whole chapter, so we're not going to read the whole chapter, and then I'm just going to end and pray that it's done. So I want to make 3 points, and I want to say that in this chapter, in Hebrews 11. There's 3 points that I want to highlight. And the first point that I want to say is these were men and women that have done great things for God. But these men and women started off being ordinary men and women, just like us sitting here today. Okay, that is amazing. Because it actually says that they are now known today for great things that they have done, but they started off being normal men and women, just like us sitting here today. Okay, so that's the first point. The second point that I want to make is I want to say, you see, can I van hierdie water kry? Kan ek maar? Sorry, my mond raak droog. Okay, cool. Ek sien baie mense doen dit as hulle preek. Okay, so the second point that I want to make is I want to say that these were men and women that have done great things for God. By their faith, they have done great things for God. But their faith wasn't rooted in their ability to be used by God, but in God's ability to use them. Okay? So when we look at faith, faith is trusting God and fully trusting God, but it's not rooted in their ability to be used by God, but in God's ability to use them. Okay? So a lot of times we think of faith, we think like, I need to hype myself up and now I'm going to pray for this person, I'm going to do this and I'm going to trust for that. But faith is simply trusting Jesus with everything that you have, that He will come and move, that He will come and do something. Okay, so the first point is these men and women in Hebrews 11 were normal men, ordinary men and women like us. The second point is their faith was rooted in God's ability to use them, not in our ability. Okay. And then the third point. Okay. So the third point. Next level. Okay. So the third point is these were men and women that lived for something else. They didn't settle for the normal everyday life. They settled for eternity with Jesus. And I think throughout the morning, eternity with Jesus, even in the prayer meeting beforehand, eternity with Jesus is the one thing that was on God's heart this morning. And I want to say that these men and women are known today. They are recognized as people that are full of faith and have done great things for Jesus. But they started off being ordinary men and women that had a lot of faith that Jesus would come and do something. And they lived for eternity with Jesus. They were focused on eternity with Jesus. And if we're going to focus on that things, knowing that we are maybe normal people, but with faith, through faith, hope and love, we can be used by God. And we can live for eternity. We our ending is not this, let's say, 80, 90 years on earth. Or we have eternity awaiting for us in heaven. Okay. And the last thing that I want to say is there's one thing, just one thing that separates us from the people of Hebrews 11. One thing, I think. And it's the fact that they have lived their life, but they are dead today. Okay? They are dead. Okay? We read about them, but they're not alive anymore. Okay? We are alive. We are a church that are alive. Okay? By faith, we can pray impossible prayers today, and we can trust Jesus to move, and we can see miracles, we can see cancer go, we can trust Jesus for finances, or trust Jesus to move in this area or that. We can ask the impossible of God. Why? Because we are God's children, and eternity awaits for us. And that's what I wanted to say, is I want to say that we need to live like people. You have 90 or 100 years on earth, and then it's done. Then you're going to see Jesus. Okay, faith is when you trust God to move, but you're not seeing it. One day when you're in heaven, you're going to see it. Okay, you have now the opportunity to practice faith and to say, Jesus, come move on earth. Yeah, so that's just what I wanted to say about faith.
Yeah, awesome. And just as a response, Gabriel, you can come up. I want to ask these three questions. Just a quick recap of what was shared. So firstly, just in Mornay, and I'm going to ask us to respond now. The way I'm going to ask is, I'm just going to ask you to stand for if you respond for any one of them at the end. I'm going to read them for us. So firstly, maybe while the preaching was going on, you really felt convicted, and the Lord saying you like, yo, when He comes back, is He going to find love in your heart? Is He going to find love amongst us? Maybe you're sitting here like, yeah, Lord, I'm struggling to love others. And I want to, when you come back, I really want to have love. I really want you to come back and see, Lord, look, I've got love. I've loved and I've endured loving my brothers, loving my sisters. Maybe you need to respond to that, asking, yes, Lord, help me. Help me, help me love others. Maybe just in hope, as Jerry was sharing, you found that your hope is crept to different things. Maybe your job, maybe different things. And my financial stability. And you've just seen, yeah, that just keeps on crumbling. And if you want to respond, go like, yes, Lord, I want to put my hope back in you. No matter what's going on around me, I want to say, Lord, I want to put my hope in you. Hoping that when you come back, yes, I'm going to see you. Can't wait. That lastly, if you have, in a sense, lost faith, not necessarily in Jesus, but just, yeah, Lord, worry has crept in. I worry about things. I'm no longer focused on eternity. I'm so focused here on earth. If you want to say, yes, Lord, help me focus on eternity again. Help me pray the impossible prayers. Help me just get the bigger perspective. And I'm only a little blimp, like 80 years, and then I'm gone. Like, Lord, I want to look for eternity. Why don't we close our eyes? And if you want to respond to any one of those three, I just want to ask, you don't have to say for which one, any one of those three, why don't you just stand, and it's just between you and God. And you'll know which one it is. And you can speak to Him. Let's do business with God now, saying, Lord, help me. And just in your own words, start to pray. Father, I want to come and pray for us all. Father, you know what we're responding for, each and every one of us. Lord, you know the lack in our hearts. But Lord, we know you are patient of us. We know you are gracious with us. And we want to come humbly before you and say, Lord, help us change. Help us look more like you. Help us have eternity in mind. So Father, would you come right now and come and touch everyone that's standing, that's responding. Would you come and meet them? You come give them grace to run even harder for you, Lord. Now, why don't we just respond with a song? Hebron, you can lead us into a song.
I live for